It's Friday, May 12th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com, and also brought to you in part by the all-new Honda Fit, small on the outside, yet roomy and versatile on the inside. Check it out at fit.honda.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Got a great show for you, everyone. It's Friday. Crank it up. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, and welcome to the show. Well, I tell you what, everyone, it is not only a terrific Friday, and is everybody ready for the weekend, but I've actually got a little mini celebration going on here at the house. I'll talk about that in a few minutes why, and I'm actually going to clue you guys into a little personal information that I really have never revealed on the show before. So, I got a little bit to talk about, but it's all good, and hopefully everyone will get a kick out of it and get you guys dialed in. Okay, just want to let you know, for all of you that are long-term subscribers here, hey, thanks for being part of the family, being part of the Ohana, being part of the show. And if you're checking out the show for the very first time, make sure that, you give us a run for two or three shows, see what the show's all about, and stay subscribed. Absolutely stay subscribed. And check out all the great content over at geeknewscentral.com and check out the podcast archive over there. And also make sure you get signed up for the newsletter. And I must have motivated a bunch of you to sign up because the signups for the newsletter have been going through the roof. And part of it is because we're going to start not only giving prizes away, month of June is going to be a big cash giveaway month. And when I talk about big, let's say we're probably going to give around, in the month of June, we're going to give away $500. And it's going to be in $100 increments, but you guys are going to score cash by listening to the show, being subscribed to the newsletter. Oh, yeah. I'm going to give some back. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And it's just because I love all of you. Hey, let me tell you what happened yesterday. You know, for a long time, I have been marching to the beat of essentially walking away from my day job a year from, let's see here. It would be August of 2007 was my planned walkaway day. And the reason for that was because I was actually, in the job I'm in, I was going to be running up against what was known as higher tenure. And for those of you that don't know, and some of you do, and some of you have kind of caught on over time, if you realize, I live on historic Ford Island. Now, historic Ford Island is part of Naval Station Pearl Harbor. And yes, that is correct. I have, for the last 23 years, been in active duty in the United States Navy. So I do this show from my home here on Ford Island, and during the daytime I have a regular job doing work for the United States Navy as a chief petty officer. Now, on yesterday at about, I've been home the last 2 weeks because I had this surgery done, and I've been on convalescent leave, and when I was sitting here at the house, I knew the promotion cycle was up. I hadn't really thought too much about it. And about 3 o'clock yesterday, I had my phone turned off all day yesterday afternoon. And I looked at my phone and there was like 20 messages from work. And I kind of flipped the phone up and I was looking at all the numbers that called me. And I thought, what is going on? Is there something, is there something I need to know about? And I was staring at the phone when it rang, when my boss called me and essentially got me on the phone, and I was kind of like, what's going on? Is there something I need to come in for? Is there, something happening? And he says, well, I know, but you were on the promotion list, and I about fell out of my chair. I really did. It was quite unexpected, a nice surprise. So now many of you that listen to this show know a little bit more about me. So what happened this morning was, is I went in to work for about an hour and was actually promoted to the rank of Senior Chief Petty Officer. So it was, you know, I'm quite humbled, to be very honest with you. And any of you that are have any friends or family in the Navy, you'll understand the difficulty to achieve even becoming a chief and to make it to this level, which is essentially one step below the highest rank you can achieve as an enlisted person, is significant. But I'm very humbled by the selection, and I have a great bunch of people that I take care of and work for me, and hopefully they're all in line next. So give you a little idea. My wife has been really, really excited, but this does come with some acceptance that you essentially you're required to do a couple of years with in order to see the benefit on the retirement side as far as getting the increased retirement pay. So it is kind of it's kind of like, well, that kind of reset everything, honey. What are we going to do now? And so we've got some decisions to make here over the next few months, but it's been a good Friday anyway. But anyway, so now you guys know a little bit more about the geek here at Geek News Central. And this is actually the first time I've actually kind of brought my work up into the show. I just haven't done it in the past. And so I'm sure this is going to generate some comments, but we'll see what happens. And maybe I'll tell you a little bit more about what I've done in the past over time. Generally, I don't talk about work because, it's not a good thing to mix work and what I'm doing here. So that's the reason for that. Hey, I did get a lot of feedback from the folks. I put that call out for help for the dad out there that has a son that is becoming quite adventurous in finding adult material online. And I got three recommendations here. And one application I was not aware of at all. And it's called Spectre Soft, and it's at spectresoft.com. I'll have the link in the show notes. It is a commercial product, but let me tell you something, parents. This is a product that I actually talked to a parent that runs this on their PC, on their kid's PC, and they have teenagers in the house. And this thing is, it goes deep. I mean, it takes screen captures. It does chat logs. I mean, it logs everything, records all their emails, chats, keystrokes, and websites visited, and they don't know what's going on. And it quietly emails this stuff to the parent. Now, I kind of, I got kind of down a little bit on the parent. I said, "Well, what do you do with this information?" She goes, "Many times we use it as a tool to talk to our kids," they said that, we try not to react, try to let it absorb in and think about it a little bit. And then over a period of weeks after maybe something has happened or something's been said, have a discussion, a little, dinner time discussion about something that would relate to maybe something that was discussed. But this thing, oh my goodness. And it's won some PC Magazine Awards, both in 2004 and 2002. I believe it's $99.95, so it is not cheap. It is an expensive application, you want to know what's going on in your kids' computers and what they're doing. This thing does it. I mean, it flat out does it, and it does snapshots and everything. So it doesn't lock anything down. It really doesn't. You can turn it on, but for now, right, it's just basically one of those stealth mode type of programs. Now, the other comment I got was, a bunch of you sent me the same thing, a program called X3 Watch, and it comes from a software group known as the Goofballs and xxxchurch.com, and they make good stuff, according to the writer here. And another one is K9 Web Filter. I'll put the link up to all these applications on the show notes tonight. But for our dad out there that's trying to, not raise too much havoc and kind of maybe keep a finger on what's going on without invading his child's privacy too much, this might be a solution for you. And, let's talk about that a little bit for you folks out there that are parents, are using technology to kind of track what's going on. How are you handling it? How are you not going off? How are you keeping from, you know, locking your kid up and never letting him go out? You know, I think after I got older, my mom and I, my dad, we shared stuff. I told my mom and dad stuff that I did when I was a kid. And I really, you know, the stuff that is available today is much, oh, it's just much more on a different level. And so I guess it's going to be curious to hear what you guys' feedback is. We're going to go long on comments tonight, but I got to tell you this. I got a, in the mail, I got a ranking thing from Arbitron. Oh, yeah. They sent the old podcaster himself a you count in the radio ratings form. Now, they had called. I guess they had talked to my wife, and you know, she just said, yeah, it would be part of a survey or whatever, and really didn't know what we were getting. But when I got this thing, I was like, I dug into this thing, look at it a little bit. And I will say that this Arbitron thing is quite the... It is really radio-centric, but I've been having fun with it. Start time, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., and I've been putting all the podcasts that I've been listening to. And I actually listened to the radio one time today, and I put that in as well. But they're going to get this thing back, and they're going to be like, what in the world is this guy doing? And, of course, my wife's got one of these things, so she's filling hers out with... you know, she really doesn't listen to much radio either. She listens to a lot of stuff. Actually, she has a TV turned on, the music station sometimes, but it's pretty funny. It really, really is. And there's a note on the back and it says, your opinion counts. Use this space to make any comment you like about specific stations, announcers, or programs. Oh yeah. You know what I'm going to put in there? So I'll probably invalidate and never, ever, ever in my life get an Arbitron ratings thing again. But for somehow, we were randomly selected, and little did they know that they were getting a podcast hound to do it. I do want to remind everyone that this podcast has been brought to you in part by Honda Fit. The all-new Honda Fit is small on the outside, yet roomy and versatile on the inside. A VTEC engine, anti-locking brake system, and front and side curtain airbags are standard. And for added style, there's the Fit Sport Automatic with rear roofline spoiler and wheel-mounted paddle shifters. The Honda Fit is set and ready to go. Check it out at fit.honda.com. Okay, I do want to thank John out there. Hey, John, I know you're a podcast listener, and you made a donation on the website. My friend, we have sponsors this program. You do not need to make donations. You really, really don't. I do appreciate it, but matter of fact, I should take that donation link off the website. No need for that, but I honestly do appreciate your donation to the program. It is I'm very grateful and very thankful. All right, all you dads out there, hey, guess, and also any, all of us have moms. Mother's Day is Sunday, and I guess I would like to take this opportunity, even though Shoko doesn't listen to the show, and I tell you, for the 10 years that I was traveling a great deal, in giving, you know, doing the job that I've done and flying all over the world and being deployed for months and months and months, I spent 10 years essentially almost gone continuously. And of those 10 years, I think the average number of days I was gone per year was around 250 days. So, you know, my wife was, or Shoko was the mom, the dad, you know, and she had to fill in all those shoes. And so for my love of my life, happy Mother's Day to her. And, I'm telling you, she's a hero, guys. She really, really is. And the work she, you know, the stuff that she's had to put up with and sacrifice and move around with me and everything, the spouses out there that are married to military members, there's, they're a unique, breed. They really, really are. And it's a tough lifestyle. And I tell you, being home essentially now on a shore duty job and having spent the last 18 months at home, not really traveling, I can tell you it's tough even considering going back to a job that would be more demanding, because I realize how much I've missed. And without her, my kids would not be the way they are. And it's a tough thing. So for those of you that if you're you know, in a similar situation, make sure you thank your mom and send her something nice. Send her a big bouquet of flowers and something sweet, and whatever she wants to do that day, take care of her. It's very, very important. Okay, I want to talk just a little bit about Second Life. We've been playing around a little bit in there, having fun. There was some crazy stuff that went on Monday night that I forgot to talk about over on Slack Street. If you guys haven't been in there, if you want to check it out, come on in, look for us. You can do a search for podcast. You'll see the PCN Tower link, and you'll be able to come in. And we just have a little, it's nothing fancy. It's just like a little office, but the only difference is the wherever you walk around in the building, there's a stream of the audio content from PCN that is playing at the same exact time. Hey, I do want to mention that I've been talking to the folks at GoDaddy, and it looks like they are going to be sticking on as a sponsor here on the show for another 6 months. More details on that to follow, but I do want to thank them for continuing to be a sponsor here. And, of course, why just get a domain name when you can get it all? Register your domain with GoDaddy.com, the number one domain register worldwide, and get free hosting with a website builder, a free blog, a complete email, and much, much more. Plus, enter the code CENTRAL. Enter the code CENTRAL when you check out and save an additional $10 off your order of $50 or more. Or if you want to use the code, we've got some 15% codes by using Geek5. Now, you have to purchase on the Geek5 code. The purchase has to be $20 or more. So make sure you use Geek5. Geek5 when you're checking out on orders of $20 or more. All right, thanks for GoDaddy for being a sponsor here at the Geek News Central podcast. Okay, hey, I've got a lot of great news today, a lot of great information that I've dug up, a lot of good email. But one thing I was surprised, I got a bunch of voicemails from people on this Prince of Persia, the Two Thrones game to give away, but no one, I guess everyone missed what the manufacturer was. So I think what I'm going to do is I kind of wanted to have everyone, I don't know how to do this. Since no one was able to figure out what the company is, I'll tell them what it is. It's Ubisoft at ubi.com. And I'm gonna let this go until Monday. So if you want Prince of Persia, the Two Thrones, and you want this game, just send me a voicemail a little bit about it. And that's all I want, and we'll give it to you. Now, what I am going to do is I've got this stick axe. It's a real cool MP3 music. You can mix and mash up all kinds of stuff. If you've got a kid that has and I'm going to tell you, this is probably not an adult product. So if you've got a kid that's into doing mashup, I want this to go to someone that really, some kid could really use it. And send me an email to geeknews@gmail.com, entitle it Stick Axe, STIKAX giveaway, and let me know that you've got a kid that does something, and then I'll take those emails, and we'll give that away on Monday or maybe next Friday, so that we can hook that up with someone that can actually use it, and it just doesn't go in someone's junk drawer when they get it. And again, Prince of Persia, the Two Thrones game, we'll give that away on Monday as well, I got some more stuff piled up here we'll do later on. All right, I've got a lot of great lineup here. I'm going to start right off with a article that was from Mark Cuban. Talks about what were the Warner Brothers thinking. And he gets down on these guys because, you know, Warner Brothers announced a revolutionary deal where they're going to be offering mainstream, we talked about it on the last show, mainstream DVDs available via BitTorrent. Well, Mark went over to the BitTorrent.com website and did some searches, and he was able to find Mission Impossible 3, Scary Movie 4. He said, you name it, it's there to download. And he's saying, why did Warner make a relationship with a company that has pirated software on their website? And he just goes through and just lambastes them. And he actually is putting down, I think Mark's wrong on this, and he said, well, I had let my BitTorrent client lapse, and I wasn't using it, and he says, count me as someone who had let his BitTorrent lapse and go unusable until I saw this deal announced and followed the links to the BitTorrent.com. Now I can see all the content I want if I were so inclined, and I won't let the movies finish downloading. So, you know, he's he's slashing them. So, you know, what's up with this? I thought this guy was all up on the new media and everything and new distribution. But, boy, he has nothing at all good to say about the BitTorrent folks and nothing good to say about Warner Brothers. But I think Warner Brothers are smart. They're doing a very tactical, smart move. They know people are doing this. They know people are going to steal their content no matter what. So, you know, if you can't beat them, join them and give people an opportunity to be able to get the content legally. Sure, you may not sell a great number, but it's better. You know, it's an opportunity for people to, you know, essentially go clean and get a, you know, have you guys seen some of this stuff? You know, it's a guy holding a video camera, and some of it's ripped DVDs, obviously. But some of the stuff is trash that is available. And so I guess we'll see what happens here. But he had nothing at all good to say. Okay, Google had a couple of announcements and this week. And one of the things that they launched was a site called Google Trends. And you can find Google Trends at google.com/trends. And I found a good article by Steve Rubel. He says, 25 things I learned on Google Trends. I'm just only going to go over a couple of these that I found interesting. And what you can do is you can compare search words. So I did a search. One was podcast, one was blog, and it'll show you how those search terms are tracking across the entire network. And he did some as well. And one of them, here's some of his realizations from this. He says, Almost all the 10 biggest U.S. markets for MySpace are on the West Coast. Number five, Jerry Lewis's popularity in France is rising. BlackBerry is widening its lead over the trio. Zacharias Massawi finally beat O.J. Simpson in searches. New York still tops L.A. You know, it's just these kind of cool searches you can do to be able to tell, you know, where the buzz is. And one of them that I thought was pretty funny, or not funny, was interesting. It said, Dig is still way behind CNET, but it caught up to Slashdot. MySpace sped ahead of AOL last year. Now, we'll see what happens. We'll talk about some announcements with AOL this week as well here later in the show. But I'll save this for you. Y'all can look at the all the things that he came up with. You can actually look at the search results because he's got them linked here to the Trends website. And I tried searching some terms that were particular to me, but I guess there wasn't enough history. Not famous enough, as I guess it is. All right, you guys do a lot of meetings. I know that I spend just an extraordinary amount of time on meetings. And there's a good a blog post on open loops, and it's not necessarily the domain doesn't go there. It's a TypePad blog. But I put the link up in the show notes, of course. And there's a good... good, maybe a 2-minute read here on meeting best practices. So some things you should do for meetings, preparation, what you can do after. Just some common sense stuff here, but it maybe reset your clock a little bit, and it'll help you when you're sitting in some of these meetings that are just driving you crazy, and help you get through them and stay organized. The BBC has a good article out, and it talks about the modern-day con man. You know, for many, many years before the internet became available, there was, individuals that spent their life doing nothing but trying to con people out of their money. And many of them did. Many of them were able to steal millions and millions of dollars from people. But, of course, now the ultimate con has moved essentially online. But the BBC talks to a gentleman who was a real-life con man back in the day. And he talks about social engineering, and they talk about how things have changed now and how things have moved online, and some of the art that is used for helping, some of the tactics that are used by con men. Now, we all know that, some of the stuff that is going on today is real hard to detect, especially if your computer is compromised and there's software put on. It allows, your key logging to be caught. You know, so it's a rough world out there right now, and the con men can essentially be anonymous. You know, they're sitting behind a keyboard. So this article goes into this. I found it very fascinating, good read. So if you're into kind of this background of what's going on now and what happened before, this would be a good review for you from the BBC. With all the announcements going on this week with Google, it just continues to roll on. Next week, it appears that they are going to be rolling out a new feature in Gmail called Gmail Picture. And essentially what this is going to allow you to do is attach a picture to your profile so that when you email someone, you know how you see now you've got instant messages before and the person's picture's in the instant message? Well, this is going to be built into a Gmail now, so they actually people will be able to see a little picture of you in the email spot to give them a reminder of who they are, who they're talking to. So, you know, put a face to an actual email, which is pretty cool. Now, this site, I am highly, highly suspect, okay? And I don't even know if I should even put it up online because it just smells funny. And it's called spotbit.com. And again, I'm going to highly caution you here. Matter of fact, I am not going to link this in the show notes. It's called the Free E-Magazine Archive. And I'm looking at this, and there's all kinds of magazines here that are available for download. Now, when I do a hover over the top of the download button, it links me into a page. Actually, as I click on that, it links me into a page that shows a link to a PDF file. Well, I kind of did some snooping, and when I click on that, it does not appear to be a PDF. It looks like it's a... Actually, I didn't even click on it. I just kind of did a viewed the source, and I did some other things, and it looks like it actually tries to put an application on your actual website. Now, I found this, not on your website, on your computer. I found this via a link in Dig, and what's curious about this is it's got a lot of magazines that are definitely subscription-based, and I can't imagine this being legal or lasting long. And the only thing I can really think it's been designed for is to maybe install some sort of very bad program onto your PC. So don't get the buzz to go right over and play with SpotBit right away. If you've heard about it, be very, very careful on this site because everything I can tell from it is very suspect. I look at the bottom of it. There's no about who is this, how are they making these available. And here's kind of the telltale sign on the bottom. If the copyright of any magazine belongs to you, contact us and we'll remove it. Well, I don't see any email link, the whole nine yards, so be very, very careful if you have, if you see the site link, because it's making the rounds on the net, on some of the blogs. You remember a while back we talked about what D-Link was doing and some of their routers that they were selling? D-Link has a series of routers that will essentially call and get the time updated in them. They'll actually go out to a site that it's tied into the atomic clock. It'll get the time, and then it'll update your system, and you can update your actual your PCs on your desktop with this feature with D-Link. But what was happening was that they were actually pinging a Danish website, and this guy was a volunteer. He's just running a server so that approximately 2,000 Danish server administrators could reliably sync their clocks via his website or via his server. Well, D-Link was just, I guess, I don't know how many D-Link routers he sold, but they were all defaulted to this guy's website. Some sort of a deal has been made, and Engadget is reporting that D-Link is going to change all of their routers from here on out so it's not pointing at his specific website. And apparently, he's going to allow them to the hardware that's currently out there to call home and link up. So apparently, he got paid. It's not told how much, but you know, this was just some guy that was doing this, and his ISP was threatening to shut him down because of the bandwidth bill would have amounted to thousands and thousands of dollars because of the actual traffic. So. We will hopefully this is the end of that, and companies that have this type of functionality in their applications will be a lot smarter in how they implement it in the future. And for those of you that have servers out there, that time sync is a very important thing to enable, and you can call once a day and update the clock on your server so that the time stays right. And it's important because especially if you're movable type users, if you're running a dedicated server, is that TypePad has a synchronizing mechanism so that it authenticates and gives you so much time to come back to the website and actually make comments via that. Okay, I found something that was very intriguing to me. Visa is testing, and I see here, I guess it's Chase is the one that's sending out these Visa cards, that is going to have a clock in it. Now, I know some people, matter of fact, I got a buddy that works at AT&T, and he's got a little keychain that's got a clock on it, and it'll update. So as it's a random number generator. So when he goes to log into his corporate account, when he's outside of the AT&T network, he has to look at that little clock and it tells him a number, and that's his security link back into AT&T. Well, what they're going to do is they're going to do the same thing with Visa, in that if you're sitting at home and you're doing a purchase online, you'll pull out your Visa card, and it'll actually on the Visa card itself, I'll have a random number generator clock that is synchronized so that you can make an online purchase and then authenticate that you've got the card with this clock setting. Very, very, very cool. And I think this would go a long way in stopping some of the abuse that's going on with Visa cards that are out there. But I don't know if the card's going to get thicker or how this is going to work or how it'll be implemented when you're doing any actual live transactions, when you're handing a card to somebody to have them swipe it. But I've seen this technology work before, and it works very, very well. And my buddy from the AT&T doesn't even actually, he just has to make sure that the unit stays charged. I think it's on a battery. I don't know how it syncs up to make sure it's the right time all the time, or it's on the right sequence. Either it's got a highly accurate, maybe someone can tell me. Does anybody know about those little units and how those actually stay synchronized so that the keyword that they give you works at all times? I'd like to hear about that a little more. And I probably should do some research and talk about it as well. But that could be coming to your Visa card soon. Okay, over in France, the Senate over there passed a watered-down digital rights management bill. They kind of kowtowed to to Apple and some of the other companies. And it's sad to say that they did not stick to their principles, because it could have been very, very good for consumer use and fair use rights. But they backed down, and the controversial bill was watered down. Now they just got some language in there that basically says that for like Apple, they'll have to go back to their vendors and say, okay, do you want us to encrypt stuff in DRM? If they say yes, then it's okay. So that's kind of what's going to happen there. So why couldn't someone had to lead from the front, and they just could not do it. Okay, seems that Sony, you know, they got a lot of boost out of their PlayStation 3, but they have gotten absolutely raked over the coals over their pricing, and it's primarily because of the differential in the prices between one unit and the other, being that the $499 unit has a 20 gig hard drive in it, and the $599 unit has a 60 gig version. But the main difference, of course, was the HDMI no HDMI on the 20 gig unit. And the company is basically all in defense, saying, well, that is, it's a good price for its value and blah, blah, blah. But essentially, they've had a little bit of a PR nightmare this week because the HDMI is not included on the 20 gig version, which is going to be priced at $499. Essentially, no one in their right mind would buy a PlayStation 3 to take advantage of all the upper-level graphics capability that this thing is going to be able to produce without being able to have the HDMI output. It just blows me away. That again, Sony, sorry, I'm still not buying any more of your products. You're still on my ban list. But you know what? Dumb. And we'll see if they change it. We will. We'll see if they make some revisions here, because obviously they've taken some heat from this. Hey, have you guys heard about the Mac G6? You know what's available for $499? Here's a report from Engadget that says, want an Intel-based Mac but don't want to pay Apple's price? A company called Red PCs may have what you're looking for. If you're willing to face the wrath of Apple's lawyers, Red PC is now offering something they're calling a PowerPC G6 Macintosh for $499. According to the specs, the box is basically a generic Pentium-based PC running a hacked version of the Intel version of Mac OS X. For your $499, the company is all throwing in some copies of Photoshop CS2, Microsoft Office 2004. This is quite the deal, folks, and given that Photoshop alone can go for over $400, yeah, the website is dark. So I don't know if someone put this up as a joke or what, but that smells really legal, and that Photoshop, you know, just getting the computer with the Photoshop in Office 2004 would have been. So a little on the humor front today, but how long before we have a real Intel-based PC that's running Mac OS X? When pigs fly, as my friend says. All right, AIM Pages was launched, I believe, yesterday. I'm sorry, I went over there, played around with it, not super impressed. I kind of related it to a GeoCities page. I took a little heat for it on the blog, but sure, they're using Ajax, and they're using some modules, and you can drag stuff around the screen, and it's obviously it's revision one. TechCrunch wasn't super impressed. Mark Cantor, he comes back and he's giving it the oorah, oorah. I don't know. I guess I'm going to have to go back and look again. But someone sent a comment on blog, Todd, you're just too old. No, I'm not old. I just don't think the product is cool. I just don't like it. But I'll have to go back. I'll play with it some more and see what I can come up with. But AIM Pages. And, of course, you can find, I'll have the link to that in the show notes if you haven't checked it out already. Of course, if you've got an AIM name, you'll be able to go ahead and create a page real quick and play around with it. And, you know, this is supposed to be the competition to MySpace. Now, on a comical note, I saw something today on Microsoft Watch that made me wonder, I wonder if Microsoft is going to come after me and the Tech Podcast Network and make us change the name of our show that we do. We do a show called The Roundtable over there once a month, but apparently Microsoft has got a product that used to be called RingCam. It's a 360-degree view video conference camera that was available a couple of years ago, and Microsoft has finally decided to package and price and position the device, and it's been rechristened as Roundtable. So, they're using a combined word Roundtable without a split like we do. So I'm sure, guess what? We were first, Microsoft. And there's other people that have Roundtable, too. So we'll see if they trademark it and try to shut people down. I'm hoping that they won't. But I could foresee that coming down the pike in the future. All right. Found a great article over on the hotfix.net. And, you know, I've been predicting that Windows Media Player 11 will have podcasting support. And sadly, it looks like a public preview that's going to be coming out on Wednesday, May 17th, does not look like this initial pre-release is going to have it. So maybe I was wrong, but we'll see on the 17th. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. Telltale sign in here is that features in Windows Media Player 11 for XP June 06 is a new user interface, support for better synchronization for portable devices. Now, that's one thing that's important. Album stacks of album art, index libraries with search as you type features, user control downgrade qualities for DRM content to allow for smaller files. DRM content will contain metadata that shows what the user is allowed to do with the file. Thanks, Microsoft. And it includes, of course, Microsoft and MTV's Urge Music Store. And that was a big announcement at the Consumer Electronics Show. If you remember, we podcasted about that the night before the start of the show in a keynote that Bill Gates gave. He talked about Urge and all the hot things that they were going to do with the Windows Media Player. Now, of course, with Windows Media Player 11 for Vista in early 07, they've got some additional feature list here, but nothing. Absolutely flat out nothing in this initial sneak peek or this inside information type of a post that says anything about podcasting. Microsoft, I'm just going to smack you guys with a stinky old trout if you do not put podcasting in Windows Media Player 11, and if it's not available in the June release, you're going to have one mad podcaster here. And I'm going to call you guys to the table on it too if it's not. You guys have been too slow to the game. Come on, be reactive. You know, Apple is eating your lunch. Are you going to be able to react? I doubt it. We'll see. I can tell I'm just a little bit like, why? What's the problem? How hard is it? We'll see. We'll see on the 17th. Okay, over on TechCrunch, he's got a review of Google Notebook, and essentially what he's saying is that Notebook looks like it is designed to be a flat-out delicious competitor, and it allows you to gather content from around the web, add metadata like categories, and if you like, publish information. He's got some screenshots. Excuse me, I got a little bit of a head cold tonight, so if I'm droning in your ear a little bit, I apologize. But to go on here, he's got some screenshots of it. It looks like it's going to be pretty cool, and I guess that's coming next week. So a Google employee by the name of Erica was actually the one that released it. She's got a whole bunch of screenshots up on Flickr. I wonder if she's going to get in trouble by the boss on that. Okay, over on spacetoday.net, NASA has selected the COTS finalists, and they've essentially NASA has tapped six companies as finalists for a $500 million program to develop a commercial transportation service for the International Space Station. So it looks like they're looking to get something together that is going to allow them to ferry cargo back and forth and eventually a crew. Meanwhile, the Russians continue to do that on a daily basis. Why don't they just go over there and hire some of those guys to take care of this? Because obviously they have no problem putting spacecraft in space. Okay, Google Co-op, what is it? Well, that's kind of the question a lot of people have been asking. And I'm not going to go into too many details of it, but I am going to link up a site that talks a little bit about how the Google Co-op works. I'm still getting my brain wrapped around it. If any of you out there have played with it a little bit, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. You can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365 and leave your comments on it. Or, of course, you can send email to geeknews@gmail.com. With your commentary, but mixed pressed on Google Co-op that came out same time as Google Trends did. All right, over on Daily Tech, for those of you that build your own machines and you are looking for an HDMI motherboard, it looks like Universal ABIT was the first out the door with one. And I'm looking at this motherboard, and it's just as you know, ABIT makes some really they don't make pretty motherboards. I guess as long as it works. But it looks to me like it's got pretty good processing, or actually a bus speed on it, and handle a wide range of chips that are pretty typical. But it's got a whole bunch of great connectors and, of course, the HDMI output. So take a look at this, and if you're looking to buy a build a machine with the HDMI output, this looks like the first one out. So it doesn't say what it's going to be priced at here. Let me look. No, it doesn't say what the actual price is, but I'm looking forward to this. I got a machine down here that needs an upgrade, and maybe I'll bust out and buy one of these and give you guys a report on it. Okay, the new Palm OS Trio is ready for takeoff, and it looks like the Palm OS is about to get into the fast lane, where they are now going to the Verizon version. It's going to allow this Trio 700W is going to have the EVDO. Support so that you're going to be able to use the broadband with it. And, of course, Palm is declining anything about the story. Verizon's not talking too much about this, but it's supposed to be called the 700W. That was the Windows version. The 700P is supposed to be the name of this. And it's pretty cool. I know some of you really like the Palm version of that, and you just were kind of, you were complaining because you didn't have the wireless capability with it with EVDO. It looks like this could be coming to an end via a CNET at news.com. All right, over on the Doc Searles weblog, I had to laugh because this story that Doc talked about, he's getting ready to move into a new house, and they're building it, and he's moved out of the old house, and he's actually renting a place that is real close to the new place that he's moving into. And I guess I don't know how the intermix here on the property works, but essentially what he had to do is he was just desperate for broadband service. So he went and the garage in his new house was ready. So he had the cable company install broadband to the garage. Then he went out and bought 150 feet of Cat 5 cable and stretched it from the garage where the internet connection was to his new house. Had a hard time finding a way to get it in the house, finally figured a way in, got it in, he's got broadband access. Kind of reminds me back when I was living in in Maryland, I was running the dial-up bulletin board, and we were adding lines like crazy. And, you know, I'm living in an apartment complex, and there's like 20 units in the complex, but I'm needing like 12 lines. So I'm calling the phone company, and they're like, what do you mean you need 12 lines? I'm explaining what they're doing. You know, and essentially what they did is they came out and gave me every spare line they could. They actually had to trench some more cable in. And my landlord was like, what's, you know, why are they here trenching in more cable? I'm like, well, I'm adding phone lines at. I didn't tell them I needed 12. And they dropped it in. Now, the actual box where the phone jack was on the other side of the apartment complex. Well, I asked the, you know, I got to asking the landlord, I said, well, how, you know, I'm putting these extra phone lines in, you know, they're saying there's no extra cables. Can I run a cable from, you know, one side of the building to the other? And he's like, well, I guess you can get in the crawl space. And if you can get it from one end to the other, go ahead and do it. So I went out and I bought, I guess it was a 24 pair cable, and got down in this crawl space. It was about 300 feet I had to crawl with this telephone line and stretching it out. And I got to the place where I thought was my apartment was. I was knocking on the bottom of the floor, and the people above actually called the police because they thought it was a burglar trying to get in. And so make a long story short, I finally got the cable run, but it wasn't without fanfare. And there was people complaining in that complex that there was no way they could get a second line. And little did they know I had like 12 lines tied up in that building. So, Doc, I know what you're going through. I think it's funny. It just reminded me of that. I wanted to tell you. All right. We're already running way. We're at 46 minutes. Jason Calacanis has a article about, how YouTube won. And I think Jason's like coming out with daggers, and he's basically saying that YouTube won because they had stolen content. Yeah, you heard me. He comes right out and says, yeah, YouTube, you did good because you were stealing content. And if you get VC money, you need to give about 90% of it to the people you stole it from, like NBC and other companies like that. Read this. This is like, wow. Reader comments are saying, hey, you're being a little bit unfair, but he comes from the top rope, I'm telling you. Pretty strong words coming from Jason over there at Weblogs, Inc., part of AOL. A little bit more news on the space front. The Venus Express has entered its final orbit. So the ESA's, the European Space Agency's Venus Express spacecraft, has entered its final orbit around Venus. And even as spacecraft engineers troubleshoot a problem with an instrument on the spacecraft, it looks like they were able to get it in the correct orbit, and they're all real happy about that. Hey, my movable type comments have, oh man, gotten a lot of comment all over the net, and I've gotten probably the most amount of emails from those of you running WordPress out there saying, welcome to the family. I'll be very honest with you. So far, I've had 3 developers look at the website, and 3 of them have said your templating and what you need to accomplish is too tough, and there's a couple of things that what you're doing now with Mool type that is not possible in WordPress. Yeah. So still on the search here. We'll see what happens. I did not get to talk to Anal Dash over at Six Apart this week. Try him tomorrow or later next week. But yeah, getting a lot of press, a lot of people talking about this. So there's going to be an interview too with the European head of Six Apart on, oh gosh, he's going to kill me. I'll put the link to his show in the show notes. He interviewed me recently. It's the Irish blogger, Tom Rafferty. Oh, what is the name of his show? Okay, I'll get it in the show notes. And he's going to do an interview with them. And he was asking me today some questions to ask. I'm like, hey, just listen to my recent show. I said, you'll be able to get plenty of info out of there. And I think it'll be a cool interview when it comes up, I think, next week. All right, over on Linux Watch, you guys heard us talk about Mambo before. And, boy, I guess that situation over there where there's been this mass exodus of developers and have went to Joomla, it's not gotten any better. Another guy has left and basically aired a bunch of dirty laundry. It does not look like the Mambo Foundation has done very well for its developers, but, you know, the Joomla folks are definitely succeeding, and they're on track to deliver some great updates to that product. How many of you are still running Mambo and haven't switched to Joomla? Let me know. All right, check this out. There's an article on the PC World that says MPAA has trained dogs to sniff out pirate DVDs. Two black Labradors are being employed in the fight against piracy in the United Kingdom. The movie industry group has funded the 8-month training of two black Labradors called Lucky and Flo, who can now sniff out optical discs at custom points and other locations. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? The dogs are trained to detect the smell of a chemical used in manufacturing optical discs. Well, when you go into Heathrow now, so what's probably going to happen is if you have 10 DVDs in your bag, you're probably going to get searched. I'm a little bit surprised. No, I'm not surprised. They're going to do anything they can to shut the pirates down, which, you know, I'm not advocating piracy. But here we go. What lengths are they going to go to go after people? I'm sure it's going to be some person is going to have five pirated DVDs on their person is going to go to jail because of these dogs. You just watch. And I think I already talked about this. I can't remember if I talked about it on the last show or not. But the recording industry is saying it's now okay for you to listen to your CDs on your iPod. They have actually asked the Congress to make it legal for you to rip your CDs and put them on your MP3 players. How does that make y'all feel? Make you feel all warm and comfy that the RIAA has finally decided to allow you to do that? What a bunch of chal heads. How long you guys been ripping CDs? I think I ripped my entire collection like 6-7 years ago. And I haven't touched an actual CD probably in as long. It just kills me. These guys. Oh, I guess I was illegal ripping CDs that whole time. Don't tell anybody, okay? All right, I've got some comments for the listeners today from all of you. I got some good feedback. Got some promos to play for you here at the end. I want to thank Joel. I want to thank Anthony. Joel and Matt Beth for sending the primary information in on for the dad on the filtering software. We got an email from Quentin here. Says, "Hey there, Todd. Just wondering, after you talked about the Mimikakis and the Mimikakis, remember we were talking about the Japanese ear cleaning? He says, I went out and got some. Problem is, I can't figure out how your wife is able to make the ear cleaning experience a pleasurable one. I've been testing them on my girlfriend and finding that the fine line between pain and pleasure is quite a fine one, as I find out after a couple of yelps. So is there a magical way to make this a pleasurable experience? Well, my wife said right off the bat, if you bought an American Mimikakis, they're metal. Throw it in the trash. She says, what you got to get is get the bamboo ones. And then you got to be very careful and get a little bit of a knack. And, you know, you got to kind of find out each person is different on how deep their ear canal is. So don't go too deep. You know, just you'll know where the sweet spot is. Key is don't be pushing against the eardrum. That's why you're getting the yelps. But if you're using the metal ones, she says those things are nasty. Get rid of it, throw it in the trash, and find bamboo. And what you'd probably do is go to an Asian market and ask them for them. I'm sure they've got the bamboo ones there. You'll see them. Okay, I got an email from Anthony. Says, hey, Todd, Anthony from CitySync here. I saw that you're looking for assistant. I have to say I would be interested. Of course, I have really no idea if I would be located in Hawaii or if that's actually where you live. Yeah, Anthony, I live here. And I tell you what, my friend, you want to work for free? If you want to be my assistant for free, you don't have to move anywhere. we're a startup, Anthony, and when you're a startup, you're taking every dime that you have and putting it back into the company. I really wish I could afford an assistant, but guess what? It's just it's not in the cards right now. Someday, maybe we'll be able to actually put some people on salary and be able to do that. But and if I do, I'll keep you in mind. But if you want to do some stuff for us and you want to work with me and maybe for some options, send me a line back and we'll talk a little bit. Okay, I got a email. Actually, this was one I already got before. Let me go back now and we'll play these promos. Actually, it's 54 minutes. Wow. We did pretty good for the amount of content we covered tonight. Let me see if I got everything covered. I got that. I'm good. Okay. Hey, don't forget, we're going to start giving away some money in June. Tell your friends, bring them on the show. We're going to have a good time, okay? All right, let me play these promos. As always, thank you so very much for being part of the family here. And, you know, for the long-term subscribers, you know, you warm my heart every time you send me email. I get a lot of comments from you that I don't read on air. It is greatly, greatly appreciated about the feedback. Take care of your moms this weekend, all right? And, of course, your wives, too. They're moms as well. Most of them, many of you have wives that are moms already, have kids. So take care of them as well. And, of course, call the voicemail hotline with your comments, 619-342-7365. Geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or Skype me at Geek News Central. Some of you have been complaining I never get you on Skype. Well, just, it's true. I'm hard to get sometimes. So call the voicemail hotline. Until next time, we'll see you. But here are a couple of promos, and then I'll get you guys out of here. It's about a minute's worth. And thanks, everybody. Aloha.
The invasion of your ears has begun. Zaldor's World's invading your ears with new music, interviews, world domination, karaoke, and more. Join the invasion at Zaldor.com. Zaldor's World, invading your ears one podcast at a time.
You know, I know that guy that did that promo. He did the ones for us for a long time ago. All right, Zaldor.com, Zaldor.com. And here's one, a good one from Trucker Tom. And then I do have actually got a voicemail comment that I want to play. I almost forgot about that. Let's play the one from Trucker Tom. And he's got an interview that's going to be hosted here soon. It's going to be awesome. Check this out.
You've heard his music on Adam Curry's Daily Source Code. Wonder what PodSafe pianist Rob Costlow's been up to since?
I've had several licenses made with Flaster as well for various videos and documentaries.
Tune in on Monday, May the 22nd for my interview with PodSafe music artist Rob Costlow and find out what he's been up to at truckertom.podshow.com.
And for those of you that don't know, Trucker Tom is one we work with on the podcast promos website. Actually, he's the actual owner of the domain and has licensed the website to us to do what we're doing over there. So if you're a podcaster, make sure you get over to podcastpromos.com. This site is getting a lot of great traffic, folks. It's getting, I think we're around 10 to 15,000 hits a day on that website. And I'm getting reports back from podcasters. They're seeing jumps in their audiences of 200 to 300 every time they put a promo up. So, and those of you that are listeners, get over there and check that out, too. There's a lot of great shows being featured over there. And here's a comment from a listener. It's a little long, but I think it's well worth it. You guys check it out.
Hello, Todd. This is Russ from Nebraska. And just wanted to say you have a good podcast. I've enjoyed listening to it while I commute to work 30 miles away in another town. I was hoping I could find something like this to make that drive more productive and listen to some news and some information on IT and geek things. Wanted to mention that this little SanDisk, SANSA, it's a 240, 1 gig MP3 player. It's sure a good little unit. It was only $59.95. And it's been trouble-free and really fun to use. Got that from Irwin Computer. And one other thing I wanted to mention, a while back you were talking about the supercomputers and why would anyone need all that computing power? And one thing they're necessary for is in understanding the Earth's weather. Weather requires so much data, so many locations and the temperature and wind speed, barometric pressure, and all these things has to be computed and then modeled to try to understand what's happening, and then has to be processed quickly to try to predict what's going to happen in the future to make weather predictions. And no doubt you've noticed, along with the rest of us, how the predictions have increased, and the skill and the reliability has increased, but we still have a ways to go. My dad is a retired atmospheric research scientist, and he worked, his group was called Remote Sensing of the Environment. He used lasers and acoustic sounders to remotely measure winds and temperatures. And one thing he wanted to do was to put some instruments like that in satellites above the oceans to measure wind speeds and things there, because even now that's a big piece of our weather understanding that's missing. Yeah, if there are clouds, we can see what the winds are doing over the oceans by taking satellite pictures, or we can release weather balloons from ships. But otherwise, there's a big piece of our understanding that's missing, because we don't know what those wind speeds are doing, what the temperatures are, and all that atmosphere. And so if we had that added to our understanding and accurately modeled in time, we'd have even better predictions. So I just wanted to share that, and thanks for your good show, and we'll be listening.
Aloha, and thanks for that comment, and greatly appreciated, and enjoy us on the commute. This is definitely a long one again. All right, everyone, we'll see you next time. We'll see you on Tuesday. Everyone have a great weekend, all right? And aloha from beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii.